Well, this morning, we're going to take a couple of moments just to continue this series that we started last week, Talking with God. We started last week talking about how we can have a more intimate conversation with God, and we talked about how the Lord's Prayer is the way that Jesus showed us to pray and have a more intimate connection with the Father in heaven. This morning, we're going to focus on the first two phrases of the Lord's Prayer. We're going to take a phrase every week, and we're just going to kind of dive into it a little bit and show us and kind of open our eyes to how we can pray to God more effectively by praying the Lord's Prayer. So this morning, we're going to be focusing on the first two phrases, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Lord's Prayer just kind of rolls off the tongue for us. And that's a beautiful thing, but it's more than a memory verse, and we're going to talk about that this morning. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I don't know about you, but I'm here to confess to you this morning, I have an addiction. I'm addicted. I'm an addict. I am addicted to reminders. I am addicted to reminders in my life. The older I get, the more I forget. I find that working in my life. The older I get, the more I forget. Somebody will say something to me and I'll say, yeah, I got it. And 2 minutes later, I've totally forgotten it. It's not because I don't care. It's just that the gray matter gets a little tougher the older that I get. What are some reminders that we've all used in the past 12 hours? Bill used Mary Lou. What other reminders have you used? The alarm clock. What else do we got? Post-it notes. What do you got there, Julie? You've got the reminders on your telephone. Any other reminders that you can think of? Calendars. What else? Anybody know the word, the bulletin? Anybody know the words by heart?
Bible.
The Bible is a reminder, reading the Bible. Anybody know the words to the Psalms by heart? You had to have the words in front of you so you could sing the songs this morning. We kind of know them, but we don't know the exact words. And my favorite thing is to sing songs and get the words that I think are the song in my head. And then come to find 20 years later that I've been singing the wrong words the whole time. Anybody else do that? You know, the Barry Manilow song, Looks Like We Made It? For years, my sister thought that was Look Like Tomatoes. We all need reminders, and we've had prompts all day through the past 12 hours, words on the screen, the announcements in the bulletin, like Tom said, alarm clocks, our phones, calendars, old school and electronic. Anybody a list person? I make lists all the time. Oh, we make lists. We all need reminders because we're human. We all need prompts to carry us through our day so we get done what we need to get done so we can accomplish something. I remember when I was in marching band, they made you memorize the music, right? And some people didn't totally have all the songs memorized, so they'd put a little lyre on their instrument and they'd have the notes to the song there. And in the marching band I was in, you could only use that lyre for the first football game. And then after the first football game, you had to have all your music memorized. So you'd see these little lyres, not telling a lie, but it's a L-Y-R-E. And you set your music on there to help you remember your musical notes. When Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray the Lord's Prayer, he was not trying to teach them another Bible memory verse. The Lord, even though we know it by heart, and we can say it, if somebody snapped their fingers, Jesus was not teaching the Lord's Prayer to just be another memory verse. Jesus was not just teaching us what to pray. Jesus was teaching us how to pray. Jesus is showing us how to pray. He was teaching them a prayer method. The Lord's Prayer just isn't a Bible memory verse. It's a prayer method. It's a prayer reminder. It reminds you, every phrase reminds you what you need to pray when we approach God. It's a prayer prompt. It reminds us of what we need to be praying for. It prompts us to pray in an effective way. Every phrase of the Lord's Prayer is a prompt to help you and me pray for everything you and I need every single day in our lives. Aren't you glad God gives us this gift? Today we're going to be focusing on the first two phrases here. We're going to spend a little time focusing on what they mean and how they prompt us to pray. Okay, so first of all, let's focus on the opening phrase, our Father in heaven. Say that with me, our Father in heaven. How appropriate for us to focus on this phrase of the Lord's Prayer on Father's Day. Just happened to work out that way. Just happened to work out that way on the calendar. Today's the day that we set aside time to honor our fathers. Just like a month ago, we set aside time to honor our mothers. I'm really glad that we do it for our fathers too. Father's Day, Mother's Day, kind of tricky holidays some of the time, in that not everyone has had a great and stellar relationship with their father. It can be a tough day for those who've lost a dad and are grieving or missing their daddy who's passed on. And we pray for God's comfort and care for people that are dealing with that type of situation today. Just as we set aside time to honor our fathers, the Lord's Prayer sets aside time every time we pray to honor our Father in heaven. So just as we set aside Father's Day to honor our dads, every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we have the opportunity to honor our Father in heaven. You see, through Jesus, we're able to have this relationship with the Father in heaven. And I think that that is something that we just totally take for granted. We talked about this last week. As Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, our Father who art in heaven. As they were hearing this teaching for the first time, do you realize that Jesus, as he taught, pray our Father in heaven, he was breaking every rule. Jesus was smashing every tradition that they had been brought up in. Jesus was undermining the very conventional wisdom of the day of how good people were supposed to pray to God. When he told the disciples to pray our Father in heaven, Jesus was revolutionizing how humanity relates to God. He was revolutionizing how we relate to God. Before Christ, there was, broadly speaking, no intimate relationship with God that was available. The God of the Old Testament was distant, in heaven, separate from earth. The God in the Old Testament, Psalm 80, verse 1, tells us that God is seated on a throne in between the cherubim. He is sitting on this throne separate from his creation, with angels and cherubim surrounding him. He was a God who came down to earth in the Old Testament in a whirlwind of fire and in flame. He was a God to be feared. God, when you were in the presence of God, look out, because you needed to fear the almighty power of God. In the Old Testament, he was a God to be feared. He was a God who exacted judgment and punishment for people who disobeyed. All through the Old Testament, we see God laying out his expectations. We see people screwing it up. And we see God issuing his judgment, his wrath, and his punishment. And we see this in the story of the nation of Israel, who was first enslaved by the Egyptians. And then they were freed, and then they messed it all up, and then they were conquered by the Assyrians, and they were taken into slavery, and Jerusalem was destroyed. The whole Old Testament is just this up and down story of God's judgment and punishment being exacted out on a people who just couldn't seem to figure out how to obey His word. He was an untouchable God in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, so untouchable, if you read the story of Uzzah, Uzzah is the name of a person in Second Samuel chapter six, verse six. Uzzah, I think it, the modern version of Uzzah is Bubba. I read that name; it's not a very common name, but Uzzah was instantly killed. He was instantly killed when he tried to touch the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the presence of God. You were not supposed to touch God in the Old Testament. When I think of how the Jewish people related to God in the Old Testament prior to Jesus, I get a picture in my head of the great and powerful Oz. You know, this is the mentality of how humanity related to God in the Old Testament. And I got to thinking, you know, what better way to illustrate the Old Testament point of view on how people related to God than to show you this clip from The Wizard of Oz. But not a very nice vision of a loving Heavenly Father there in that presentation in the Wizard of Oz. But that's kind of a picture of the way that the Old Testament Jewish people were taught to approach God. Fire, flame, silence, you know, all of that stuff going on. But when Jesus came and he was teaching his disciples, he smashed this conventional way that they thought about approaching God. He taught a new way to approach God, one that had to leave the religious leaders of that day beside themselves. Jesus' teaching of the Lord's Prayer, to teach us to pray our Father in heaven, it really perfectly aligns with some of his other teachings. In John 14:6, he teaches the disciples, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way. He proclaims that he alone is the way to the Father, not through a priest. You don't come to God through the temple. You don't come to God by going to the Ark of the Covenant. We find the way to the Father only when we believe in Jesus. You can come to church today, folks, looking for God. But if you don't know Christ, it's going to be a little bit hard to make a connection with our Heavenly Father in heaven. You have to have that relationship with Jesus in order to make that connection. To access God, we must claim Jesus as our personal Savior. And that relationship has to be up to date. You know how you have to pay your cell phone bill every month? We got to keep that relationship up to date with God so that we can continue to have that relationship with Him. And when we do, when we have that relationship with Him, something amazing happens. The Apostle John writes in his Gospel in chapter 1, verse 12, "For everybody who believes, to all who receive Christ, to those who believe in His name, He gives the right to become children of God." Get that? Is that sinking in? It's when we believe, when we receive Jesus in our hearts, He gives us the right to become children of God. You know, I think about citizenship into the kingdom of heaven, and I think about all of the controversies that we have today over immigration and citizenship. And, you know, we have all of these debates with the politicians and in Washington, D.C. about, you know, what do we do with the birthers? And what do we do with the dreamers? And we need to build a wall to keep everybody out to keep the people who don't belong here out. There's this big debate about immigration in our country today. But I want you to all realize this morning, regardless of what your political views are on immigration, that we are all immigrants into the kingdom of God. When we transfer from our sinfulness and we accept Jesus as our Savior and we become children of God, He busts down the wall, folks, and He invites us in and we become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. You are a spiritual immigrant if you believe in Jesus as your Savior today. You are a spiritual immigrant if you believe in Christ as your Savior. When we turn from our sin and accept Christ in our hearts, He radically changes our relationship with God. No longer are we distant and outcast and out there. When we accept Christ and when we commit our lives to obeying His Word, we are adopted as children of God. We are adopted into the family of God. And as adopted children of God, you know, if you like become a member of a club or something like that, there are all these rights and privileges that will come with that membership. And as we are adopted as children of God, we all receive the rights and privileges and perks of becoming part of the family of God. There are perks to being a follower of Jesus. Amen? There are perks to being a follower of Jesus. One of these perks, one of these privileges is that you gain direct, immediate, instant access to God when you accept Jesus as your Savior. You do it through Christ. And another one of those privileges is that not only do we get immediate, instant access to God, but we also gain the privilege of being able to legitimately call God our Heavenly Father. Not anybody can call me Dad. Not anybody can call me Father. There are three unique individuals in this world who have the right to legitimately call me Dad. To call me Father. And you know who those three guys are? Curtis, Stephen, and Andrew. Because they're my sons. And I'm proud of them. And I love them. And I'd do anything for them. I'd do anything for them. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, you gain this awesome privilege of being able to call God Father. You can call Him Father in your prayers if you want, look all holy and mighty and everything, but if Jesus is really not your Savior, it's lip service. But when you're a follower of Christ, aren't you glad that you can approach God as Father? You can legitimately call Him Father. You can have a personal, intimate relationship with Him. And in the toughest times, in the toughest moments when you need Him, you can call Him Daddy. Abba, Father, Daddy. Daddy, I need your help. Daddy, I need you. I need you to help me. I need you to protect me. I need you to provide for me. You can have a personal, intimate relationship with God. The Lord's Prayer is a special means for you and I to be able to approach and connect with our Heavenly Father. It's not just a verse to memorize. It's not just words to say. This is serious. When you approach Him as Father, you can do so with love. And we talked about this morning. You can do it with love and affection. Got to see my dad yesterday. Got to see my dad yesterday for Father's Day. Posted a picture too out on Facebook and Instagram of a picture of me and my dad. I'm proud of my dad. And I love the affection that we share for one another. That same type of affection we can share with our Heavenly Father every time you pray the Lord's Prayer. Father. We can approach Him as Father. Secondly, let's look at this phrase, hallowed be your name. Hallowed is not a word we toss around very often in the 21st century. That is kind of old church King James language in my book. Hallowed isn't a word we commonly use. When we say we hallow something or someone, you are really saying that you respect someone. I hallow you. I respect your presence. Or you're giving them the honor that they're due. When we say we hallow something or someone, we recognize the accomplishment that the accomplishments that they've made. So if on Veterans Day, we'll recognize our veterans. We hallow our veterans. We respect them for the sacrifices they've made, for the accomplishments they've made, for the price that they've paid. We've been to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania several times to visit the historic battle site. Anybody else been to Gettysburg? Gettysburg, several of us have been to Gettysburg. We're the first time we went to Gettysburg, we went with a rollicking 9-month-old boy and we did the audio tour. Thought it was really cool, but we couldn't even get out of the car and enjoy it. Awesome experience. And it was, even just from the car, it was an incredible experience. And then we went back about, 2005, Pastor Vicki? Pastor Vicki and I, we took the boys to my mom and dad's in Troy, and we said, here, they're yours for the week. And we made reservations for a bed and breakfast in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And we drove to Gettysburg, and we walked. We didn't stay in the car and do the CD tour. We got out and we walked the entire battlefield from day one on the west northwest reaches of town, all the way through the city, day two to the southern part of Gettysburg, about a mile and a half out of town to Little Round Top. If you know the story, pivotal moment in the history of our nation happened on Little Round Top as the 20th Maine, 50 or 60 guys held off division after division after division of Confederate soldiers marching uphill trying to take that piece of the battlefield, because whoever commanded Little Round Top commanded the rest of the battlefield with their artillery. And in the lick of time, the 20th Maine stood there, and we got to stand right where they were. And it's really fascinating because as you see how that battlefield is set up, there's monuments. Here's where they were at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and the first wave came, and they drove them back. And then here's where they came the second wave, and they drove them back. And here's where they came on the third wave, and they drove them back. And here's the fourth wave. And the fifth wave, they were 180 degrees pointing the other side on the hill. And they were out of ammunition. And here come the rebels up again, up the hill again. And they didn't have any bullets left. And Joshua Chamberlain, the guy leading the unit, bayonets? Get your bayonets out. And he didn't know what to do because they couldn't shoot anymore. They could throw rocks. And here they come up the hill at him. And he ordered his soldiers to charge down that hill. And they swept the rebels all the way off the field and all the way down. And many people died, and they made this huge sacrifice. 50,000 men died at Gettysburg in 3 days in July of 1865. And when you go to Gettysburg, they call that battlefield hallowed ground. That is hallowed ground. Why? Because so many people died in a key battle that determined the fate of the future of the Union. Had the Confederate Army won at Gettysburg, we might not be the United States of America today. Great sacrifice made that day. And when you go to Gettysburg, there's a national cemetery that's laid out there. And when you enter into the cemetery at Gettysburg, you find these special signs at the entrance. And I took it's a strange atmosphere when you are on the battlefield, walking it by yourself. It's almost like you're walking with the ghosts of those who gave their lives. You can still find shrapnel on the ground from that battle 154 years ago. When you walk into the cemetery, you see this sign. It says silence and respect. Because the men who lay here gave the ultimate sacrifice for freedom for our country. And so even 150 plus years later, great care is given to show respect on the battlefield, especially at the cemetery, to give honor and to recognize the sacrifice made on that soil in southwestern Pennsylvania. When we pray, "Hallowed be your name," we're getting our hearts into an appropriate posture to speak to God. Any of you have perfect posture? I don't think anybody does. We're all like slouched over or whatever. I go to my chiropractor and he's like, "You know, you could really like lift your neck up a little bit and you'd help yourself." When we pray, "Hallowed be your name," we are getting our heart in an appropriate posture to pray to the Creator of the universe, to the one who's purchased our salvation. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, folks, wherever we are, when we pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," we make that place holy ground. Wherever we pray to the Father becomes holy, not the temple, not the Ark of the Covenant. Wherever his children pray becomes holy ground. Whenever and wherever you choose to speak to God by saying, hallowed be your name, we're acknowledging, "God, you are holy. God, as I pray to you, I acknowledge that I am entering into your holy presence. Hallowed be your name. And as I pray to you today, I acknowledge I'm standing on holy ground. I'm standing in the holy presence of God." Whenever we pray, "Hallowed be your name," we are prompted to praise God. We are reminded. We need those reminders every once in a while, right? We need to be reminded. So when you pray, "My Father, Daddy in heaven, hallowed be your name," that is a reminder for you to praise God for who he is. Praise God for loving us so much that he gave his one and only Son. "Hallowed be your name. Thank you, God, for allowing the blood of Christ to be spilled out on my behalf. Hallowed be thy name. Thank you, God, for paying such a steep price to allow me to have this direct connection with my Creator." When we enter into our time of prayer with God, praying, "Hallowed be your name," allows us to assume the appropriate heart posture that we need so we can have a good conversation. I think when you think about prayer, when you think about the appropriate posture for prayer, what posture should we take when we pray? What should we do? Hands folded, Marilyn, I saw I'm on your knees, hands folded. How? Anything else?
Close your eyes.
Close your eyes. Oh boy, if you pray with your eyes open, you're not a Christian. You can sit in church with your eyes closed and fake a nap. No, I'm just praying. You might be doing that now. I forgive you. But you know, we think about these postures, you know, hands folded on our knees, eyes closed. That's the physical posture you take when you pray. Folks, we can have the physical posture down and miss connecting with God because the posture of our heart is out of alignment. We can play the part, but if it's not from the heart, it's not going to get us anywhere. When we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," It's an opportunity to take a few moments and reflect on who God is, what God has done for me, and the fact that He is a holy God who loves me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. This week, I want us to close this service. You're just going to sit right where you're at. How's that? We're going to close this service this morning. We're going to spend a few moments in prayer together, focusing on God as our Heavenly Father. We're going to have a quality relationship with God that exceeds the quality of any relationship we would have with an earthly father. You have a great relationship with your dad on earth. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you can have a relationship with your Heavenly Father that far exceeds the relationship we even have with our dad here on earth. Just like a good earthly father, God wants the very best for you. We talked a little bit about this in Sunday school today. We all have kids or grandkids, right? And, you know, we would do anything for them. We want the best for them. I think of Christmas morning. And I think in the past or at Christmas, it's different in different families. But for me, I love Christmas morning because I just love to give my guys the best. I just do it to see the reaction on their face, just to see the joy. I am their father. I love them. I want to do good things for them. I want to bring joy into their life, and I want them to feel joy and peace and security. I want the very best for my kids. And I know I look around here, you want the very best for your kids or your grandkids too. You'd do anything to give them the very best. That's how God feels about you this morning. Do you believe that? That's how God feels about you this morning. Just like a good earthly father, God wants His best for you. He has a plan for your life, but He's not going to force it on you. He's not going to force it on you. He gives us a choice to engage with Him in this relationship. He gives us a choice. We can't call Him Father if we can't call Jesus Savior. We've got to be able to call Jesus Savior first in order to call Him Heavenly Father. We're going to end today praying together. I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray right where you're at too. We're going to use these first few phrases of the Lord's Prayer as a prompt as we close in prayer today. As we prepare our hearts, I just want you to bow your heads. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to take a deep breath. And I want you to breathe it out. Father, as we come to You today as a church family, we approach You as Father. You are our Heavenly Father. We thank You this morning. We hallow Your name. We realize, we recognize the sacrifice that You have made. We recognize Your holiness today, God. We recognize how much You love us. How much You have done to restore a relationship with us. And we just come to You this morning worshiping You, thanking You, Father, for who You are, for what You've done, and how You've blessed us. It is mind-blowing this morning for us, oh God, to be able to come into Your presence and realize that as soon as we say the words, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name," we automatically recognize that we are standing on holy ground. Lord, as I pray this morning, it's not lost on me that as we're prompted to pray those words, it's not the words that make the ground holy. It's the words that remind us that You are holy and that You are always with us. That the ground upon which we walk as children of a living Savior, adopted kids this morning. Wherever we go is holy ground. And that by praying the words, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name," they remind us of who we are, whose we are, what we were, and where we're going. We thank you, Father, for this ability to be able to have an intimate relationship with you. Lord, I pray for this people this week as we walk out of here and as we commit to praying the Lord's Prayer every day, Lord, that something would be different this week. As we pray those simple words, "Our Father," Lord, may our hearts be filled with a love and an affection for you. May our hearts be filled with awe and wonder by your holiness. May we be humbled by your love for us. May we be inspired to serve you. May we be filled with your Holy Spirit to do what you call us to do. May we have the courage to go to where you call us to accomplish that which you put before us. We go with boldness this morning because we know that our Heavenly Father, our holy Heavenly Father, creator of this universe, knows my name, and he goes with me, and he cares about me dearly, and he's got good things that he wants for me. Help us to embrace this deep, intimate, loving relationship with you this morning, Father, as we hallow your name and the way that we live our lives. Father, give us eyes for the world that you have for us. Put your love in our hearts, compassion in our souls. Fill us and use us so that wherever we go, the holy presence of God is felt. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray this morning. Amen.